Tonight, I'm going to do my best. Every time I say this, I get in trouble. But I'm going to do my best to shorten it up. I know this is a special night. But I'm not going to shorten the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost when the Holy Ghost begins to move tonight, I'm going to turn it loose and you folks can just do whatever you and God decide to do. But I want to preach to you tonight. I want to say what I feel like God has inspired my heart with. And I thank you for your good response toward your campground. I'm on the district board in our state, and every year we have problems with the same thing you do, keeping everything in repair and keeping everything going. And you've just done so well. I wish our people could have been here to see how smooth it was and how well you did. It's so nice, and I appreciate that. I'm sure Brother Lumpkin did too. Amen. Now, Brother Cornwell is going to be here in the morning, as it's been announced. He's my good friend, and I appreciate him a lot. And I've been to his church, and he practices what he preaches. And I think that if you miss this service in the morning, you'll want to get the tape, because he does pray, and he does seek God, and he has a growing church. I asked him a while ago if his balcony was still full, and it's not quite full, but he's got a good number of people there, over 1,000 people that are coming. And that tells me that somebody loves God and loves the community whenever they have that kind of people coming out, no longer than he's been there. So you can look for something good in the morning, and you can look for something good right now, because God is in this house. Amen. You want to stand? You're welcome to stand with me. The 4th chapter of Mark, I'm going to read. I want to leave some principles with you. I'm not sure how much I'll preach, and I might preach. I might teach a little to get a basis for what I want to say to you. I have seen in churches and in people, everywhere I go, it seems like we're having an epidemic of fear. Fear is causing a lot of problems. You can mark it down when somebody has nerves, that there's a problem with fear in their life. They're afraid of something. They don't know how to handle it, or they're not handling it. There's just so many areas that fear works, and I feel like that I need to address this situation tonight, because I'm going to tell you where a lot of us fall down in receiving what God wants for us in the Holy Ghost. Now, this is real elementary, but you listen to me, because it's exactly where we are. Some of us are afraid we're not going to be healed when we come to be prayed for, and because of that fear, we are stopped. Mark chapter 4. I see I need to preach a little bit. Verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Our God and our Savior, we are asking for your presence, to be very aware. We want to feel you in a special way tonight, because we know from looking into the Word that you have intentions for the Latter-day Church. I am praying right now that your Spirit would blanket this congregation, that every evil demonic force that would try to interrupt the move of your Spirit would be bound. I am praying that every spirit that would try to raise its ugly head to make doubt or fear prevalent here would be bound. I take authority in the name of Jesus over those spirits right now, and I will accept you, Lord, and your word over anything the devil says. I claim victory now. I say, Jesus, this is your camp meeting. I am preaching your word, and by your Spirit, move in this house. Liberate people from fear, and let us have an outpouring of your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Glory to God. Glory to God. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. All right, you may be seated. There's no message that you can preach that is effective unless there is communication. However, when you communicate with fear, there is a certain different aspect that comes along with your communication. Sometimes it is not very pleasant when you communicate with fear. Let me tell you a little story to illustrate that. That's a true story. Folks that are here from First Church in Little Rock will have to excuse me. I told them about this when I was there Sunday, but it sticks in my mind, and it's such a good way to make a point. I don't want you to forget it. Communicating with fear is not the best way to do it. It is a true story. A missionary from Mexico came to Racine when this has been a year or so ago, and sat with me for a meal. He was preaching at the Spanish church there, and he told me that this dear man that lived on a border city who owned a barber shop was a very good barber. And there was a captain in the service, the army, and he was going to see the general, but he needed a haircut. And his friend told him, you better not go to this nice big barber shop there. And the captain said, well, it looks like the nicest in town. He said, well, I think it is, but you shouldn't go there, captain. He said, well, why? He said, simply because this barber, when he gets you in the chair, he puts the sheet around your neck, and he cuts half of your hair, and then he quits. And he talks to you about this man named Jesus, and you can't go anywhere because you're half done. And he said, if you get in the chair, he said, he'll make you late for your appointment to see the general. And the captain said, we will see. And so he walked across the street, and when he opened the door, he pulled out his gun. And this man standing there, he said, now you will cut my hair, and you will not stop until you're finished, and you will not open your mouth. Do you understand? And the man, of course, looking at the gun and seeing the military, he's trembling, and he said, yes. No more speaking, and you must not stop until you're finished. And he understood. He sat in the chair. He put the sheet around his neck. He held the gun in his hand while the man cut his hair. Trembling, he cut his hair when he was finished. He stood up and looked in the mirror. And his eyes got big. And he gasped with what he saw. He said, what have you done to me? And the man said, may I talk now? He said, you'd better talk now. He said, I'm waiting for a haircut too. The barber is out to lunch. Now you have to understand, he communicated with fear. That gun, his communication, he didn't have to have a botched up haircut if he would have just communicated with him out of fear. But he didn't. He put fear there. He couldn't say anything. I want to communicate to you without fear. I want us to have an open look at the Bible. I have read to you about Jesus rebuking his disciples right in the middle of a crisis. When he saw this wind and he saw the waves there, he first spoke to the wind and he spoke to the waves. That's the first thing he did. And there was a great calm. And I could say a whole lot about that. Maybe you've heard it preached before about how when the wind stops, the water keeps on coming. because the tonnage of the water, you just don't stop it. After the wind stops, it takes a long time for it to stop. But the voice of Jesus and the power of God speaking through Him caused the great calm to come immediately, and it stopped. It just, everything stopped, and His disciples were exceedingly afraid. They didn't understand the power that He had, but they've been walking with Him. They had seen how that He did other miracles, how He had raised people from the dead, and how He had healed people at different times. And Jesus rebuked them, and I'm saying that when He rebuked them, He was saying to them, you had enough faith, and you've seen Me do enough power, that you could have spoken to this wind and to this waves yourself, and I wouldn't have had to been wakened up. It wouldn't have had to be this way if you just would have spoken. I believe that He expected His disciples to have spoken that way. Now, you say, this doesn't work. It doesn't fit. Why isn't it? Well, one of the first things that you think about this when you see it is the fact that when you see the wind, awesome as it was, and the waves, something you know you can't control either of, when you begin to speak to them, there's a fear that you might not get your prayer answered, and so that paralyzes your faith. I want to say to you at the outset of this meeting that fear attracts Satan like faith attracts God. Job said, the thing I feared most, I'm paraphrasing, the thing I feared most has come upon me. You fear something, there's a negative bond that brings it to you. It just begins to grow towards you. Some say, I don't believe in those kind of things. Well, try it sometime, but just don't make it too severe, you know. I'm afraid I'm going to have a flat tire. I'm afraid this is going to happen. You know, some things you can just believe for in a negative aspect, and you can get them. I want to tell you that I found something in my experience with God that I feel like I could share with you and make you better people. I told you last night that I did not come here to make a name for myself. I came here because I want to help somebody. I want you to be better people. I want you to have more power with God than when you came. I want you to be liberated. And I am a firm believer in what Jesus Christ said in His Word is for us today. And I do believe that we pray for far too many people that are not healed. I do believe we have far too many visitors that come into our churches that leave unchanged. And I believe that we need to get fear out of our midst so that we can take charge of the situation and allow the Holy Ghost to do the work through us like He's been wanting to do for a long time. I pastored a few years in Racine and I got a call that a dear saint in the church was dying. And they said that there was no use in taking her to the hospital because she was dying so fast, and would I hurry and get out there. And when I got there, I went willingly and happy to go. And when I was going out there, I began immediately to talk to the Lord. I had prayed and we had been fasting, and I felt like this was something that Satan was trying to do to stop the move of the Lord. And I just was asking God for direction. I was determined that I wasn't going to be intimidated. I was just, God, You tell me what to do, and I'll do it. You just speak to me. And when I got there, there was a nurse that was just leaving the room or the house. And I said, where are you going? And she said, well, she's almost dead, and she's my friend, and I don't want to see her die. So since you're here, I'm just going to slip on out. I said, very good. And I walked in that room, two or three other ladies in the bedroom there, and they're just frozen, and they see that she's beginning to turn blue, and that there's no pulse, you can't find a pulse, and all other different vital signs were failing. And I knelt beside the bed and took her wrist, and I asked the Lord, I couldn't find pulse either, and I asked the Lord, I said, God, would You help me now to understand what You want me to do? And honest, folks, it was so easy. When I spoke that, it was like He spoke to me like He was kneeling beside of me. It was so clear. There was no confusion. There was no frustration. He said, I want you to speak to the spirit of fear to leave this room. Because fear brings bondage. And I'll prove that to you in a moment. And I said, all right, I'm going to do it. And I just began to speak to fear. I said, in the name of Jesus, I take authority and dominion over you. You cannot stay in this room. I adjure you by the name of Jesus to leave this room. It was a simple little old prayer just like that. Not much more than that at all. And you know, we felt something move in the room. It changed. I said, all right, she didn't change, but the atmosphere seemed to change. I still had a hold of her wrist. I said, what else, God? Because nothing else was happening to her. And he said, now I want you to speak to doubt. And when he spoke, when he said that, I did the same thing with doubt. Nothing happened to her. She was the same. I said, all right, God, now what else? You have to tell me. I don't know what else to do. And you know what he said? Speak to the disease. There is nothing left to hold it in her. Fear is gone. Doubt is gone. The disease has nothing to hold it in. Say to the thing to leave. I spoke to the disease, and in a matter of 1 minute or 2 minutes, the woman had color in her face. She sat up in bed. I left the room. She dressed, and she met her mom and dad at the door, who were just 20 minutes away. They were coming to say goodbye forever, and she met them at the door. See, we got this problem with fear. And fear will bind you. Fear causes you to just tense up. Just, you can just feel it. When fear comes on you, it just paralyzes you. Let's look at this for a minute. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, and I'll read it to keep the time down here. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect fear. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now go on quickly. That's pretty self-explanatory. Go on quickly to the 8th chapter of Romans, yes, and the 15th verse. 8th chapter of Romans and verse 15, he said, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Now that's what he said. When you were in the world, you were ruled by fear. You can say anything you want to. You can look at Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. And he said, he kept us in bondage by fear of death. Fear brings bondage. Fear brings torment. Fear is showing us that we have a need in our spirits, that we're not mature, we're not fully what we should be in God. How come? Somewhere in our upbringing, somewhere in the nourishment of the Word, we have not been full grown by the Word. There's an ingredient missing, and fear has capitalized and come in upon us, and we're afraid to take the step. In 2 Timothy 1 and 7, he tells us very plainly there that we have not been given the spirit of fear. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. And when I feel fear coming on, I recognize the source of where that fear is coming from. And I know that when Jesus Christ got up from the grave, that He conquered that old boy. And when He tries to put that spirit of fear on me, I know that I have the power to put fear under my feet. Now, there's some sense in being fearful of some things. I learned only one time that fire burns. And when I get around fire, I don't go around and stick my finger over there and check on it to see if it's still hot. Because I learned that by fear. And so you understand, when I read that, it didn't say perfect love cast out all fear. It just said it cast out fear. There's some fear that we need to survive. There's some fear that we need. I'm going to tell you what I feel in the Holy Ghost right now. I feel in the Holy Ghost that there are people that can be healed in this service tonight, that can put off all kinds of things and problems in you when you get by the first fear that says, I'm afraid I won't be healed when I get prayed for. That God is so real and the power of God is so strong here that if we get by the first fear that God is that anxious, and you believe in God that much, that you can be healed and that the power of God can liberate you from anything you've got according to your faith. You know, it's kind of ironic that Brother Cornwell is here tonight when the Lord put this in my heart to preach for you. I was there with him in a meeting the first of this year. They had had several preachers before me, and they were having round-the-clock prayer and different things of that nature. And the church was wound pretty tight. They were in high spirits. They had the spurs, out, and they were gouging them, and they were really rocking along. And I think that first Sunday that I was there, there was 12 or 14 that prayed through. You wouldn't know. You wasn't there that first Sunday, but... yeah, he would know. He keeps good records. But it was just wound up pretty tight. And in the midst of all of that, I told Brother Cornwell, I said, I'm going to teach on faith. And I began to talk about faith for 3 nights. And I never released the people to just shout, or I didn't have prayer lines, or I didn't pray for them. We just turned them loose and told them to go home. We didn't release them, and we didn't ask them to try their faith. The second night of when I was teaching on faith, the second night, this dear man came to me. His name was Brother Nagel. He said, "Brother Cisco, I have a wife that's here. You may have seen me lead her around." I said, "She has Alzheimer's, and I just want you to tell me if there's anything that you can believe that would help me with my dear wife." And I said, "Brother Nagel, I don't have an answer for you. I don't remember ever praying for anybody that had Alzheimer's. And I don't recognize the Spirit. And I don't know how to counter the Spirit. And so I'm just going to tell you that I'll pray. That's all I can tell you." In the course of the next meeting, or the next service, I made a statement to the church, and I'm feeling more like this every time I start talking about faith. There are some people that are going to be healed, and there are some that are not going to be healed. And I made this statement. I said, "When you get healed, I'm not responsible for you getting healed, so I'm not going to take any credit. And when you don't get your healing, you can't blame me, because I'm not responsible if you don't. I am preaching the good word of God, and this good word of God has enough merit to stand on its own base. And when I preach the good word of God and you believe it, it becomes an individual relationship between you and God." And when I begin to say things like that, it put the strength right in the good word of God. So here I am and preaching, teaching the faith for these 3 or 4 nights, whatever it was. And on the last night, which was Saturday night, I just felt like in the Holy Ghost I needed to do this. I stepped out. There was probably 700 people there that night or more. I'm not a good judge, but it was pretty well full on the downstairs. And I stepped out on the stairs. I said, "It is now time for us to pray for Sister Nagel." And there were people sitting just like you're sitting, quiet. They weren't jumping. I had finished and closed my Bible. I said, "It's now time for us to pray for Sister Nagel." She was brought down. I stepped down. Brother Cornwell came, stood beside of me. And I remember going through the principles of faith and believing God that I had done in the 3 nights before. Just hit them. It took me about 15 to 20 seconds. We anointed her with oil. As we anointed her with oil and did just what we ordinarily normally do, in the name of Jesus, it was just as beautiful, folks. It was something that you would dream about. That dear, sweet, precious woman batted her eyes about twice. And for the first time in 5 years, she smiled. Her hands went up and she began to shout and dance in the Holy Ghost. I came to the microphone and I said to the people, I said, "Sister Nagel is dancing in the Holy Ghost." And Brother Cornwell came and pushed me out of the way, and he said, "Sister Nagel is talking in tongues." She hadn't talked in tongues in 5 years. She had been brain dead for 5 years. She hadn't smiled in 5 years. They led the dear, precious, sweet woman around. She would just say incoherent things and just look at the wall. You could tell it was a blank stare in her face. Her husband said he had a stack of reports from doctors that thick that said, "There's no hope for her. There's nothing you could do for Alzheimer's at all." And he just said, this is her night tonight. And when she came, what do you think? She was instantly, miraculously healed. Now, I just asked Brother Cornwell, I just asked him, I said, "Tell me about Sister Nagel. Is she all right?" "Brother Cornwell, is she all right?"
She's all right. That was in February of this year. I called 2 weeks later. I asked Sister Cornwell, how's Sister Nagel? She said she's running the aisles and happy as she could be. I want to tell you, folks, there's power in the Word of God, and we don't need to be afraid to use it. I believe that. You know what? That was just the beginning. When that happened, I'm going to tell you what. It was like you had unleashed 1,000 horses. That the spirit, the power, the force of God's presence rained down into that auditorium. I'm telling you, before that thing was over, there were tumors that were healed right before our eyes. There were backs that were straightened. There were blood diseases that were cured. I can't tell you all that happened, but I'm sure, standing right here, that when we get upset at the devil enough, and we'll say, I'm not afraid of you, devil, and I'm not afraid of what you will do or what you won't do, but I'm going to stand on God's word, we'll have a move of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you, it's rising in this building right now. That power is rising right now. And I'm going to tell you, you don't have to wait for a certain signal from me. If you feel like God wants to heal you, get on your feet, claim your healing in the name of Jesus. We have no form nor fashion, but the Holy Ghost has a form and fashion. You need to follow what He's doing. Let me tell you something about fear. If you're feeling fear, I need to warn you. Okay? You need to understand something about fear. Fear is of the nature that it'll breed fear. And since we know where it's coming from, it will continue to grow in you. I need some help. Get a Bible there, brother. Give it to Brother Cornwell. He didn't bring his Bible. He's a good reader. Psalms 53 and 5, Brother Cornwell. Get that for me. And I'm not going to overwork you. You'll be all right in the morning. Fear breeds fear. And if you don't get fear out of the way, it will wake you up at night. Just to bother you.
All right.
Now I'm going to tell you something. It's just like David and Goliath. When old Goliath stepped out there, he made this statement. He didn't say it like this, but he made this statement. He said to David, "Serve me or slay me. Serve me or slay me." And when fear gets a hold of you, it's going to say, serve me or slay me.
Right.
You have the authority. You have the power.
Right.
God's word is true.
Right.
But here's what happened. Notice, read 53 and 5.
There were they in great fear.
There, put that a little closer to your mouth.
There were they in great fear.
In great fear.
Where no fear was, for God had scattered the bones of him in that encampment.
It's simple. There were fear where there didn't need to be any fear.
All right.
It was just that way. I'm going to tell you. Do you remember when you was a kid and you used to imagine booger men's? We used to have this long hall in our church when I was growing up. And I just get so tired sitting on them old benches. I'd say, Mama, I got to go to the bathroom. You know, I even learned how to twitch, you know. And so, I'm sorry I shouldn't have done that, but, you know, she knew when I went to the, I was telling her if I didn't, you know, I might show her. So she'd say, all right, go ahead, son, be quiet. And so I'd get started, and I'd get down those steps. We had to go down the steps, and they dug that basement, and the ceiling was kind of low and all. Good night. And I'd get around that first corner. And all of a sudden, I would get afraid because there wasn't anybody downstairs. And I thought sure that there was a bear loose in the basement of that church. And I took two or three steps. And if I didn't have to go, by the time I got there, I really did have to go. I took two or three steps. Son, I want you to know, I could hear that bear pitty-pat, pitty-pat, pitty-pat. And I would take off. I would run through. I was afraid where there was no fear. You know, that happens to us when we get the least little headache or we get a sore muscle or something. My God, we've got cancer. There's fear where there doesn't need to be any fear. Oh, church, you know what God spoke to me? Believe this or not, I used to be one of these jumpers. You know what a jumper is? That's one of these kind of fellas. I don't suppose there's anybody in captivity like this anymore, but if somebody would take their finger and they would jump and poke me like that, I would just jabber. And I would just jump. And it was a mess. I was doing that when I was pastoring. And you know, I felt so bad. I went on a fast because we had visitors that morning. I'll never forget. And the church, some of the church people just found out I was a jumper. And I hadn't been there too long. And we had these nice-looking visitors that came. And they were in the line. I was shaking hands with everybody. And I said, I'm so glad that you're here. It's so nice. And about that time, somebody came around the door and gouged me right in the ribs right here. And I said, I'm so glad that you're here. Here, 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 here. Son, I want you to know, when that happened, I saw that dear head of the house, that dear man, he looked at me kind of like a calf looking at a new gate, you know. He turned his head kind of sideways. You've seen that, you know. They never came back. They never came back. I'm going to tell you, I decided right then and there that spirit had to get off of me, that whatever it was, that God could take care of that. I said, I'm going to fast and pray until that gets gone. So I did. I went to church and I shut up. I made a couple of hitches at it. And the first hitch, I got about 4 days on my fast, and I don't know, somebody called, I had to go to a funeral or something, and so I broke my fast, and I told my wife, I said, honey, I'm trying to get rid of this, and I'm fasting and praying, and I think that we was laying in bed talking, and was, you know, lights was out and everything, and she just reached over and gouged me, and I jabbered, she said, it ain't worked yet. I said, all right, I'm going to do it again. So I took off and I locked myself in the church and I was fasting and praying. I got to about the fifth or sixth day of fasting and I said, God, you know, I don't believe I need this spirit on me. I don't know what makes me act this way. I hate this. I don't believe the Apostle Paul was a jumper. I can't imagine him being a jumper in the prison. I can't imagine Peter doing the stuff that, you know, jumping, walking down such as I have, give out, woo, 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 D in the name of Jesus. I just can't imagine him doing. Can you imagine Peter doing anything like that? I said, God, I don't want. I was dead serious, folks. All I'm right. Telling you, you're laughing and it's okay, but I was dead serious. Right. I said, I can't imagine a man of God having that kind of a thing going on to him. I said, would you help me? What's the matter with me, God? You know what he spoke to me? He said to me, he said, son, your love's, it's not perfect. And when he said that, he hurt me so bad, I doubled over weeping. I had immediate tears. I fell over in the floor. I still remember where I was. And I, you know, all the things, and I'm not going to tell you all that I'd been through in that fast, but I'd been giving up everything I knew how to give up, and I just dedicated my kids to God all over again, and I said, I'll do anything for revival in this city, and my wife, and my life, and my eyes, or whatever. I said, I don't have anything that I wouldn't give God. And then he told me my love's not mature. When somebody made a loud noise, or they pointed their finger at you, you would have enough trust in me to know that you're mine, and I'm not going to let anything happen to you that I don't want to happen to you. You're mine. And when he said that, I dried my tears.
I said, is that all it is? And I just thanked him. I said, I understand now. Honest, folks. It was as real as somebody taking this coat off of me. It was that real. It was just that real. It left me. And Brother Chambers, he used to like to gouge me a little bit when he was superintendent. And when he found out it didn't work anymore, you know what he said? You lost your ministry. And I'm so glad I lost that part of my ministry. I really was. Amen. Fear does a lot of funny things to us. You know it? We have natures about us. We have situations in our lives that sometimes we're like little kids. Now, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen tonight. In just a little bit, we're going to release our faith. Now, I'm going to tell you ahead of time so you can just get ready for this. We're going to release our faith. There's no way under God's good sky tonight that I could pray for everybody here. I don't have to. The Word of God, these good preachers, and you people. The Bible said to us who believe, if you believe, and you will understand this principle. When we begin to pray in a little bit, we can have simultaneous miracles across this congregation. We'll have testimonies tomorrow about what happened tonight, because I believe that sincerely in the power of God. Now, first of all, let me say this to you. Let me help you understand this. You need to know that there's at least two kinds of fear. There are many phobias, but two kinds of fear for us to consider. Number one, there's a kind of fear that gets lodged in your psyche. I'm going to say it like that. And that kind of a fear has to be dealt with, has to be cast out, and has to be overthrown. Now, Brother Cornwell and I kind of put this together that night. We were talking about this, and it made so much sense to me. I have just believed this, and I've watched it happen time after time after time. When we get that fear that it's kind of a permanent fear, it won't leave, it stays with you, it's kind of in your psyche. But that has to be dealt with. You have to cast that fear out, take authority and dominion, and push it out. The other fear is a kind of a temporary fear. We'll call it a temporary fear for the sake of your understanding. It's kind of like my sister and I were driving up an old road, and out of this driveway came this old big chow dog. And he really was throwing the gravel. I mean to tell you, he was going after it. And he was coming right at this car. And he looked vicious, and he looked mean. He looked bad. I mean, he looked bad. And I just slowed down and slowed down. And my sis, she got her eyes big. She said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, this poor dog ain't never caught a car before. I'm going to let him catch one, see what he'll do with it." Well, that old dog come around over there to the driver's side, and I rolled the window down to the car. And he didn't know what to do with it, sure enough. He just was using that kind of fear that if he could get you on the run, you know, he could just feel good about that. But when I stopped, he didn't know what to do with it. So I just rolled the window down. I said, "Hi, boy. How you doing?" And he smiled at me. We was about home, and I made friends with that dog. I honestly did. He was as mad as he could be because I was driving up his road until I stopped and turned on him. You know how often it is that sometimes when you're going to do something. I remember how Brother Black used to teach me knock doors, and we start knocking on doors. The first two or three doors, I scared to death. I got calluses on this finger yet from knocking doors. I won't bet, I quit that, but I guarantee you I have knocked on to 10,000 doors in my life or more. I mean, it was a regular habit with me. And the first two or three doors, I have that funny feeling in my gut. And I say, "Ooh, I don't belong here. What am I doing interrupting these people? They're trying to have a nice meal or enjoy Saturday morning, and I'm pounding on their door." And after a while, I said, "Well, the dirty, rotten, dirty, rotten, dirty, rotten devil, he's made me feel that way." And after a while, son, I could just go anywhere. I mean, it didn't matter. One time, I walked on this porch, and I heard this awful noise in there. I mean, I wasn't by myself, thank goodness, but this awful noise, it happened to be that this was a good lady that was used to this neighborhood, and this, I didn't do the talking, but I'm just going to tell you about it. And so she knocked on that door, and they was having a big fight in there. And when they finally did hear us knock, she come open that door, and you know what? They was just red in the face and mad, and she said, "Well, how y'all doing?" She said, "Not very good." She said, "Well, we're just in time then, aren't we? Would you let us come in? Maybe we can help this situation." And you know, it wasn't very long until that dear lady, you notice I said the dear lady, I was observing. That dear lady had those people calm down. And the end result of that was that they were in church, they were baptized, and they too became soul winners. I'm going to tell you, we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to let fear, rule us. We're going to be in a good atmosphere in a minute. God's going to do something here in this house. You know what's going to happen? When you leave here, some of you are going to be liberated from this. I'm only saying this to warn you. It may be a little humorous, but I'm saying this to warn you. You need to understand. Hear me. This little boy was in Sunday school class when he was hearing about the three areas of God's wonderful power, that God knew everything, God saw everything, and God was there, was everywhere at once. Those are the three composites of faith. Those are pillars of faith that we live by. And the teacher found out in the discourse that morning that this little boy was afraid of the dark. And you know what? She told him, said, "You know, Johnny, Jesus loves you very much. He loves you very much. And He's got all power, and He sees you even in the dark. You know what, Johnny? You don't have to be afraid of the dark anymore." Why, that set that little boy free, that God knew everything, that God was everywhere at once, that God had all power, and that He loved him. And he left that Sunday school class, tickled as he could be, set free. He wasn't afraid of darkness anymore. It was just wonderful. You know what happened? A week passed. His mama said to him on a Saturday night, she said, "Johnny, I want you to go and get the broom on the back porch." "Sure, Mother." And he ran through the house, opened the back door, and when he opened the door, it had become pitch dark outside. He took one step into the darkness, and all his old fears came back. And he stood there for a minute and thought, "He's everywhere. He knows everything. He's got all power. He can do anything, and He loves me." "Psst, hey, Jesus, if you're out there, hand me the broom." Isn't that just like our flesh? Isn't that just like our flesh? We could be liberated here, and a week from now, we're going to just go along and take it for granted, and then all of a sudden, we're going to be faced with some darkness. We're going to be faced with something we don't understand. And instead of plowing on through it and saying, "No, I believe you, God, I'm going to walk through it," we try to take the coward's way out and say, "Come on, God, do something for me. I'm still scared." You don't have to be afraid. God's bigger than all of your fears. This Word is prevalent, and it has power, and you can have it. I'd like to see everybody in this house that's got a headache. Would you stand? I'd like to see everybody in this house that came to church tonight with pain. Would you stand? I'd like to see everybody in this house that's got high blood pressure. Would you stand? Everybody that's got arthritis or rheumatism, would you stand? Has anybody here got cancer? Would you stand? If you've got something else wrong with you I didn't mention, I want you to stand. You want to be healed. Number one. Listen to me now. Listen to me now. We're not going to be afraid it won't happen. Brother Cornwell, bring your microphone. Come up here, please. Praise God. You don't need the Bible. Praise God. I mean, you need the Bible, but I'm not going to ask you to read. Here's what we're going to do. Brother Cornwell is going to pray, and he's going to take dominion over the spirit of fear. And when you feel the headache leave, when you feel a visible touch, When you feel any kind, I'm going to agree with him. And when he's done, I'm going to take dominion and authority over doubt. And anybody else that's left, we're going to join hands, and all these preachers over here and everybody in this building tonight, we are going to exercise our faith. We're going to turn around and run at the devil. We're not going to listen to his nonsense. We may feel like we got butterflies in our stomach, but that temporary fear is going to leave, and faith is going to burst through, and the Word of God is going to come in free course, and God's going to honor His Word tonight. I'm going to promise you people are going to be healed all across this building tonight. I'm going to promise you that God is alive and well. He came to this meeting. Now, don't nobody pray for anybody. This lesson, Brother Cornwell is going to pray. I'm agreeing with you, brother. Pray against fear right now.
In the name of Jesus, I take dominion
over
that foul, unclean spirit of fear.
Yes, Jesus.
I speak to you in the name of Jesus.
Yes, you can't stand it.
I command the fear of disease.
Disease.
I command the fear of failure.
Failure.
I command the fear of sickness.
Sickness.
I command the fear of all sorts of spirits. I bind you in the name of Jesus.
I agree.
I command that fear of diabetes.
Yes.
I command that fear of migraine headache. That fear of cancer. That fear of death.
Yes.
That fear of failure.
Yes.
I take dominion over it.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Come out. Remove yourself from this building.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And now, fear, you are gone. And doubt, I come against you. In the name of Jesus, there's a spirit of doubt. I come against you, doubt. You don't have a leg to stand on. The word is right. It has been spoken. I will say to this mountain, be thou removed. And I will doubt in my heart. Doubt, you can't stay where God's people are. Doubt, you can't stay where the name of Jesus is. Doubt, you can't stay where the Holy Ghost has recourse. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Right now, you turn around to your neighbor. You lay hands on somebody. Preachers, get up and pray for somebody. Whatever their need is, take authority. Tell it to leave. In the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Ghost is here to save and to heal.
Cancer be healed. In the name of Jesus, I command every back that needs surgery to be healed right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Two or three of you preachers, come lay your hand on Brother Lumpkin that believes that high blood pressure is going to leave him. We need to cast that off of him. He don't need that anymore. The power of God is greater than that high blood pressure. The authority belongs to Jesus Christ. The power of God is on him. I'm telling you, you can have it tonight. Don't be afraid to ask for it. Don't be afraid to let God do it. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Hi, God. Yeah, Lord. Yeah, Lord. Yeah, Lord. Yeah, Lord. Hi, God. If He can heal Bratz disease, if He can heal Alzheimer's, if He can make people get out of wheelchairs, if He can put new eyes in, Brother Freeman, He has done that He can't do for you. You need to stretch out on His promise. You need to take a hold of it. Don't be afraid. Don't let the lousy devil get on you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah! Woo! Yes! Yes! back up. Yes! Yes! Oh, Jesus. Brother Cornwell was just given a word of wisdom or knowledge that there's somebody in the building that's been afraid that you're going to have a heart attack. Hang on just a minute. I'm going to read to you from the Word of God, and I want you to claim it. I want you to have it. Listen to me now. He said, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Not my power. I don't have any power except His power. Now listen, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. He has given us power far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And He has put all things under His feet and gave to Him to be the head over all things to the church. And that's you and I. We are the church. And God gave us power. Take authority right now. Heart attacks, fear of heart attacks, be gone. I will say to this mountain, be thou removed. I will speak to the mountain. Jesus spoke to the wind. Jesus spoke to the wave. He expected His disciples to do the same. He expects us to speak to the aches, to the pains, to the diseases. And we need to believe it. Plant the seed of faith. And once you put your spirit against that mountain, don't you ever take it off. You keep on. Plant the seed tonight. Don't dig it up. Claim it in the name of Jesus by the Word, and let God do the work in you. Let me see some hands. Let me see some hands across this congregation. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God touched you tonight. You know that. Look at these hands, folks. Look at these hands. Turn around and look. I'm telling you, God's not dead. He's alive. The Spirit of life is in this tabernacle. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is here to heal. Now you take that. You that maybe didn't get what you're asking for, and renew your faith, plant the seed, and receive it. My God. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to obey God. This sometimes in a crowd this size seems like it's cheap. I have pushed this out of my mind for a long time. I've just got to say it. I think there's somebody that came to this building tonight, and you came with sincere and very serious thoughts of taking your life. I don't want you to make a spectacle of yourself. I don't want you to be embarrassed. I just want to tell you that by the name of Jesus Christ, that authority does not belong to Satan. Don't give it to him. Don't tell him he can take your life. In the name of Jesus, the love and magnificence of His glory. Oh, there's an answer better than that. there's a better way than taking your life. If you can't get help right now, you find a preacher up here. We'll pray with you. We'll help you get over that spirit. That spirit's of the devil, and I'm against him. He doesn't have power to do that unless you give him the authority. Let's pray against that spirit right now. Come on, folks. Let's pray. Suicide spirit, in the name of Jesus, you can't stay in this building. No, not any longer. Not any longer. Holy Hayashata Basahaya. My God, my God, my God.
Yes, Jesus is.